We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Joined now by Alabama shortstop Jim Jarvis, and I almost said third baseman. The last time we saw you, you were over at third base on Sunday at Vanderbilt. That one inning was pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a different view, but everything's good on the baseball field.
It really is. And just what can you tell me about the season you're having so far, Jim?
I think the biggest word for me is progress to describe this season. Just like getting more comfortable every day at shortstop, and then like whatever position they need me at, and getting more comfortable with the bat in my hand, and seeing the high level of pitching we've been facing this entire year. So I think that would be the way I would describe my year so far.
Yeah. Do you think that's the one thing you guys missed the most last year? You got off to that great start. Yes. But you didn't get a chance to see SEC pitching. Do you think it took you guys a little bit to get going in conference play because of that this year?
That could definitely be a factor, especially because of how young our team is. I was actually just looking at our roster the other day, and our entire infield besides Drew is complete freshman to the SEC, which I didn't even realize until literally like this week that not a single infielder besides Drew had seen any SEC arms. So I think that could definitely have been played a role, but I think more of it, or it was more just like settling into the SEC because we've all heard so much about it and how intimidating it can be, even though like we've been facing SEC player every fall, or SEC pitching every fall since we've gotten here. Like, I think it was more just like the atmosphere of an SEC game and series.
And Alabama's played really well to start SEC series in the Friday night game or the first game of a series. Just what can you tell me about the approach when you know you guys are going up against some really elite pitchers like we've seen this year, especially on Fridays?
The Friday night games is really just like a competitive mindset for every one of our hitters. Like, we got to bring that every single day, but there's something about Friday night, I guess, that brings out the best in us, because we all want to show what we can do and against the best, and show that we are the best.
Well, we really saw that this past Friday in Nashville. Kumar Rocker had 7 strikeouts through 2 innings. Just first of all, what'd you see from your teammates trying to go up against him in those first 2 innings? And then what was your approach to lead off the 3rd inning? And ultimately you had a double off of him.
I was trying to get a feel for what they were seeing. They were trying to tell me like the pitches that he was throwing and how it came out of his hand. But honestly, there was nothing they could really say. Like, I've watched a bunch of videos on that guy, and so I knew it was going to be a battle going in. But the one thing that helped me was getting to see the first 7 hitters all get the fastball up in the zone. So that was all I was looking for.
And it feels like you guys have a really good feel for the fastball, especially like mid-90s, 95 and above. Do you feel like that's the case? How do you guys time that out?
Well, that's the main thing that we've been told for I don't know how many weeks, is just never leave the fastball. You try to react off speed, but the one thing you can't do is get caught in between pitches, like thinking one pitch is coming and then you get like a cookie thrown to you and you miss it. So I think we do a really good job of staying on the fastball. And so whenever they're make a mistake as a pitcher, we're ready to jump on it.
How would you describe your approach to the plate, especially when you have two strikes on you, start choking up, wiggling the bat a little bit more? What can you tell us about your approach to the plate?
Just trying to be as gritty as possible. Try not to let the pitcher beat me. I mean, it happens every once in a while, but I'm really just trying to put the ball in play because hopefully something will happen and there's a better chance of them making an error than being like a drop third strike and me getting on. So I'm really just trying to either raise the pitch count of the pitcher or hopefully slap it into some hole. But it's just a defensive approach.
Yeah, and did a really good job of that. Very few strikeouts for you on the season. And then defensively, it's shortstop. What are you proud of this year? It seems like you've had a lot of range. A lot of people made note of your jump throw that you had against Mizzou last weekend.
Yeah, the funny thing is I was working on that play with our grad assistant Avant, our first base coach. We've been working on that play for the past – like I've been working on it my entire life, but we've been working on that especially the past couple of weeks. So it's kind of funny that it actually ended up happening. So that's probably one of my prouder moments defensively, like in my entire life. But I'd say just, again, like I said before, the progress of like I didn't have the start that I wanted to defensively. But I'm definitely proud of where I'm at right now defensively.
And then how good of a double play partner is Peyton Wilson at second base? And sometimes when I'm watching, I can't believe he hasn't played there his entire career. I mean, he is so smooth. You guys work really well together.
Yeah, I saw this in one of the other post-game interviews. He every single time we turn a double play, I make some comment about the bazooka that he's got attached to his right arm. He gives me and Zane so much time to get the ball over to him, and he's going to throw it 110 miles an hour across the infield and get the guy out at first. I think we've only missed out on like one double play coming from me and Zane. And I promise you that is literally just because we can flip it over to Peyton and he's going to get it out and get it to Drew in no time.
Well, Peyton Wilson's a kid from Hoover, Alabama, nearby family, all went here and all that stuff. So easy to see why he chose Alabama. Now you're from San Diego. You had a brother that played at Auburn. How did you end up in Tuscaloosa?
It's kind of like a weird, well, it's not really that weird of a story. I'd always wanted to play in the SEC. Just the conference by itself was just so drawing to me. I always wanted to play in front of like the big crowds. Like I never really got to in high school. And, so that was just like the ultimate goal for my like baseball career is to play in the SEC. I had like a little bit of talks with colleges from the West Coast, but I was planning on going to a junior college to see if I could eventually get out here. And then like the last week of my senior season, I got a call for the coaching staff here was looking for a middle infielder. And they obviously coached my brother at Auburn, or Bo coached my brother at Auburn. And so my name got brought up, and I got the opportunity to come out here, which I'm grateful for. And it was a no-brainer. Like as soon as I got the call, it was like, yes, I'm going to Alabama.
Your brother give you a hard time about that? Did you guys exchange a lot of texts or calls during the Auburn series?
He definitely texted me a couple times, like more playful chirps, but he's ultimately rooting for me regardless of where I am, where he's from.
No doubt. What are some of the big Southern California to West Alabama differences you've noticed? What was the culture change like for you?
The big one I can think of right now because it's summer is the humidity. That kills me sometimes, just like walking outside and it's just like I'm sticky. Like it's just – it's so hot and sweaty, but other than that, like the accents are a little bit different. But everyone here is just so welcoming that, I mean, as soon as you get here, you kind of just feel at home.
There are a lot of players on this roster that also played basketball like you did in high school, but not many also played water polo. What can you tell me about your water polo game and any skills that translate well to baseball?
I cannot tell you much about water polo. I played goalie because I'm a horrible swimmer. Like I can swim pretty fast, but down and back once and I'm tapped out. So there's not much to my water polo career. I was the freshman of the year for 2015 at Claremont High School. But other than that, like, I didn't do much.
That's good to hear. Well, some good memories from that year. Now you're making good memories this year playing for Alabama. And before we let you go, what can you tell me about the Good Vibes Tribe?
GVT. I got my wristband on right now. I don't know if you can see
there
that.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. The Good Vibe Tribe. Do you want to know like the backstory behind it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So me and Zane Denton, like halfway through the year, I'm sure you know about his nickname, Zeus. I was giving him a little bit of like playful banter, calling myself Juice. And then we became Zeus and Juice on the left side. And, there's like a South Park episode where there's a motorcycle gang. I don't know if that's appropriate, but we basically created a motorcycle gang with Zeus and Juice, and we're trying to find a name for it. And Good Vibe Tribe just kind of like came to be the name of our biker gang, and it just so happens to be like a positive reinforcement. So me, him, and Will Hammeter, every day or every game we have our wrist tape and we write GVT on our left wrist, and it's just something to keep our heads up even when things aren't going our way.
Yeah, how many of those wristbands do you have? Do you have a couple for Chris and I up in the radio booth?
100%. I got plenty of them. You got some options too, if you guys really want them.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll go see it before the Friday night game at LSU. So that sounds good. Well, we only have a couple weekends left in the regular season, then the SEC tournament, then hopefully the NCAA tournament. Just what's this team's mindset going into some really key baseball games coming up?
I think everyone's mindset is just wins. I mean, that's what we've been going for from the start. Like, we knew that we had our goal at 15 SEC wins, and we still have a shot at that. And I don't think there's any doubt in any of our players' minds that we can get that. And I think we just have to come out on Friday and play it one game at a time and play our best baseball.
Let's hope the good vibes continue for Jim Jarvis and Alabama baseball. Jim, just thank you so much for joining us on Crimson Drive. Best of luck this weekend in Baton Rouge and the rest of the way. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.